Make sure you get as loud and clear.
Welcome to Used Wigs Radio.
This is the radio station with nothing but...
Lonely. Download some friends.
Continuous programming to the people in Philadelphia and the Delaware Valley.
In baseball, the Phillies defeated the Braves 4-1 yesterday.
Philadelphia Mayor John
Hello, everybody! Welcome to Podcast 34. On tonight's very special episode, Team Used Wigs just opened up their brand new summer podcasting camp for underprivileged youths. Sadly, the camp closed after the first day when we couldn't convince any of the pasty white nerds to actually leave their basement and get some fresh air. Guys, it was a great idea. We spent a lot of money setting it up, going to the Poconos, and setting up all those cots in those cabins, but you know what? These kids just didn't want to go. It's sad.
And the weird thing is, it wasn't an overnight camp. They were just to lay around all day in the cot.
I know. I think their parents got a little freaked out by all the beds and just being a day camp. I'm Jeff Lyons. Of course, I'm here with Todd Marone and Russ Stark of Russ Stark Studios, the owner-operator of Russ Stark Studios. Guys, did you go to camp growing up?
No. You know, I always saw it on TV, and there was a handful of kids that talked about it. But
no, Todd, people, fat camp?
No, they wouldn't take me. But you know, people that go to camp are very, very passionate and excited about camp.
I know, I've learned that. Yeah.
The majority of the kids that I teach are camp goers,
right?
And they talk about it like it's the promised land.
You know, we got to have someone on the show who went to camp because obviously we didn't. And I just think it's like you strive and strive every year to get older, and then one day you're going to be a junior camp counselor. And then when you become the camp counselor, it's like getting your black belt, you know, where you're just like, now I can just rule the roost and then go smoke pot and have sex with the
Well, you actually have to become a brown belt first and be a junior counselor, and that's true. You're a junior counselor first, and you don't make money. You just make some tips, but you can boss the little kids around, I suppose, and like stay up whenever you want.
I really did depend on where you grew up. Because, I mean, there were a handful of kids that did camp where I grew up, but not many.
Mm-hmm. We had a lot of people go to, like, all-star soccer and basketball camps.
Sports camps. Sports I went to a wrestling camp and got ringworm.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
So I guess
it was my souvenir.
So did you win all your matches because people knew you had ringworm and they didn't want to like really get it from you and grapple with
you'd
you?
You'd be surprised that the majority of wrestlers towards the end of a high school season have ringworm. It's a terrible, filthy sport.
I have friends who used to get cauliflower ear from wrestling.
Once you have cauliflower ear, you always have it, as a matter of fact.
What is that?
It's the cartilage in your ear gets all busted up, and then it becomes very puffy, and if it's at the least bit irritated beyond, it gets all big and red. It looks like cauliflower.
I got syphilis from wrestling. I was wrestling with a hooker, and she was quite dirty. Hey, guys, I want to start off this Summer Spectacular podcast. Because the reason why it's a Summer Spectacular podcast is it was 97 degrees in Philadelphia today. It felt to me this could be the hottest weather I've ever been in. And I'm a fair to pasty white man with freckly skin, and I don't fare well in this weather. So I'm not enjoying this. So I'm like, I'm not enjoying this so much that I want to think about the joys of summer to kind of balance it out, guys. And what better way? I just did a quick list of the five greatest camp movies. Movies about summer camp. And
Meatballs.
Meatballs, number one, all time. Russ, if we could just play a little bit of Are You Ready for the Summer?
Are you ready for the summer?
Wow, that just brings back like everything I love about that movie. Just a perfect movie, if you ask me.
I know that you're going to have, what is it, Wet Hot
American Summer? Wet Hot American Summer, number two. A parody of camp movies done exceptionally well.
Friday the 13th?
Yes, Russ, that's number five, Friday the 13th. And there were no big stars in that whatsoever, except for one guy who's in every movie. And back then he was also had small roles in two other movies, Animal House and a bigger role in Diner. And he's also
mention. Steve Guttenberg?
No, he's part of a movement, a musical movement called SoCo Foso.
Oh, Kevin Bacon.
Kevin Bacon. Kevin Bacon was in Friday the 13th. Wow. That's a little known fact.
And there's two more.
Now,
two
remember,
more.
Jason wasn't the killer in that movie. That was his mom was killing everyone.
Right, yeah. Right. One is about two... Russ, how about I give you the description of the movie, and you tell me if you know the movie.
Okay.
Two 15-year-old girls from different sides of the track compete to see who will be first to lose their virginity while at camp. And are they going to lose their virginity to a young Matt Dillon? I think so. This 1980 movie is a classic. It is so well done. It is well acted, starring the teen sensation Christy McNichol and Tatum O'Neal.
Yeah.
Neither of you guys saw it?
It was really scandalous too. When
yeah, it was
because these girls were too young.
Too young to F.
Yeah,
they're way too young
right.
to F.
I forget what it was called though.
It was called Little Darlings, 1980.
And how about A Parent Trap? Is that on there?
How about A Parent Trap, Todd? It is also a movie about summer camp that's not on my list.
His last one has got to be Dirty Dancing. That's what that slide.
Oh, that's right, Russ. If I was a girl or a gay, it would be Dirty Dancing, but I'm neither. The last. Camp movie. I think, Todd, we discussed this. Jesus Camp just came out in 2006. Oh. Which is a fantastic movie following several young children as they prepare to attend a summer camp where they'll learn to be the next evangelical preacher. Guys, let's play a song. This is a song. This is a sophomore effort from a very fun British band called Art Brute, and this is Direct Hit.
He went out in a rush and cut television shows. She's looking over a lot. He's still in his work clothes. He can't talk to members of the opposite sex. He starts to talk. They start to look perplexed. So with his eyes on the prize and just a glance at her breasts, he walks over and he says, "It's uncomfortable all night to sit. Got on the dance floor, it's a direct hit. Move around like your shoes don't fit. Got on the dance floor, it's a direct hit. Why is that cigarette unlit? Got on the dance floor, it's a direct hit. What's wrong? Scared to commit? Got on the dance floor, it's a direct hit. Her friends are leaving. She decides she's not going. She's been looking over a lot and hopes it's been shown. She can't talk to members of the opposite sex. She starts to talk. They start to look perplexed, and with her eyes on the prize and just a glance at her breasts, she goes over and she says, "It's uncomfortable all night to sit. Got on the dance floor, it's a direct hit. Move around like your shoes don't fit. Got on the dance floor, it's a direct hit. What's wrong? Scared to commit. Got on the dance floor, it's a direct hit. I don't care that your friends have split. You're on the dance floor, it's a direct hit. Here comes the really good bit. Get on the dance floor, it's a direct hit. Move around like your shoes don't fit. Got on the dance floor, it's a direct hit. It's uncomfortable all night to sit. Got on the dance floor, it's a direct hit. Why's that cigarette unlit? Got on the dance floor, it's a direct hit. I don't care that your friends have split. Got on the dance floor, it's a direct hit. Move around like your shoes don't fit. Got on the dance floor, it's a direct hit. What's wrong? Scared to commit? Got on the dance floor, it's a direct hit. It's uncomfortable.
That was Art Brut with their new hit single, Direct Hit, off their new album, It's a Bit Complicated, on Downtown Records. That was a fun song, guys. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did.
Do you know the origin, Art Brut? Do you know what that means?
Yes, Todd, I do, of course, but I will let you tell it so you sound a little bit smarter than Russ and myself.
It was a term originally used for bouncers at galleries.
No, really?
No. No, it means like rough or raw art, and like some people call it naive or outsider art. But
what?
this is a term coined by a French artist, De Buffet.
De Buffet.
It just basically is art made by people who are like on the fringe of society. Sometimes like mental patients or the homeless or people. Oftentimes,
ToddMarone.com.
Thank you. People that
like
are
a
untrained.
Daniel Johnston.
Exactly. Yeah. People that are untrained, and it's outsider art. Kind of. It's like the equivalent of folk music, perhaps.
Well,
I wouldn't say that. Outsider music.
Isn't folk music people that aren't classically trained or don't have any training in?
Folk is a style. There are plenty of folk musicians that are, you know, outrageously talented.
So you were going good there for a very long time. You're on a roll.
I don't know anything about music.
was Basquiat considered a art brut? Yeah,
definitely.
Definitely, right?
Uh-huh.
Again, what a great movie. I just watched that again recently. That was really good. Guys, we're celebrating summer, and what better way for me to really get into summer then to just give you a little glimpse of what summer's like for me, Jeff Lyons. I grew up in a shore town. I grew up two blocks from the beach. So I love the beach. But I also grew up very close to New York from Russ's stomping grounds. So I had an influx every year of this type of person we would call a Guido. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Guidos.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But they're the large, gargantuan Italian men who spend the majority of their day in the gym. And then on the weekends, they come down and they run amok in my town and take over bars and dance and parade around.
Now, would you say they had to be muscular or fit to be Guido? Because we would use the term Guido for just a certain style of dress.
Oh, I think we would. I mean, growing up, it was, we called them Jimmies also, because they all wore Gold's Gym t-shirt, Fred's Gym. They all had the tank tops.
Oh, I got you right.
So,
a lot of bum equipment.
What's that?
A lot of bum
sweatshirts that would go over their tank tops.
And like gold chain on the outside.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The girls would literally wear high heels walking down the beach. And we would sit on the beach. We'd sit on my front porch, two blocks from the beach, and just watch the parade go down and back and forth. And I can actually say in the, you know, how many years I lived there, I've never said one word to a Guido chick or a Guido guy. Our paths just never crossed. We did our thing. They did their thing. They dated among their species. We dated among our species.
There was nobody in your high school like that?
No. We didn't have, because we had just kind of short people.
Hmm.
But they were kind of fun to have in town. So if you kind of want to get a taste of this, there is a fantastic, one of the greatest websites. It's been around for a good 5-6 years now. NJGuido.com. NJGUIDO. And it literally shows what they're all about. It's these giant, massive men who, if you watch, you go through one of their party pics page, beginning of the night, they're all hugging each other. The girls are giant bronzed women with fake breasts. You know, it's very fun to look at. And at the end of the night, all the guys, like, have their tank tops off and they're all hugging each other, and it's a little crazy. So if you want to get a taste of a true NJ Guido, go to njguido.com. It's fantastic.
And now, you can, if you are local to Philadelphia, which many of our listeners are
sure,
because we broadcast from Philadelphia, this is where, this is what you see at Delaware Avenue, or at least,
yes,
right?
Yes.
This is the Delaware Avenue crowd when it's too, perhaps when it's too cold to go to the beach.
Yeah, it's, but you know what, it's just a little different. I mean, I kind of know what, you know, the Delaware Ave, the Philly Guido is, but you just, there's nothing like the real thing, Todd.
Oh, okay. You're saying that the Philly Guido doesn't hold a candle to the New York Guido.
New York. Most of them are Staten Island, North Jersey Guidos.
I had a handful in my high school.
Yeah.
And they were nice enough guys.
Yeah, they're all, you know what, they're all pleasant. And I was body surfing one day. It was right after a hurricane. So I'm out there body surfing. I had my fins on, and I'm just, like, tearing it up. So I'm pretty good. I don't mean to brag. And some of these Guidos were in the water. And one, as I'm just, like, flying by him, I got up and he put his giant mitt on my shoulder and he goes, "Hey, how about you teaching me how to do that?" And me, being very afraid, said, "I certainly will." And I spent the next half hour in these giant waves teaching this giant Jimmy and his two buddies how to body surf. And it was one of the best times I ever had, because one guy got it, one guy learned it, and he was so happy every time he caught a wave. his biggest joy was looking at his other two friends and just being like, look at me, you guys can't do this. This is so great. This is so easy. Why can't you do this? Go to mjguido.com and enjoy these people.
Did they have pleated bathing suits? Actually, Guidos would wear like cut-off jeans a lot, right?
Yeah, they used to wear cut-off jeans.
Acid-washed, pleated cut-off
with
jeans.
With Capizios.
Yeah, now they just wear like real long, like short, like kind of inappropriate shorts, like just long Adidas, like, you know, rapper type shorts that you go in the water, they fall down in a second, you know? So that's my song.
You know, speaking of that, I was just telling this story the other night. When I was growing up, a guy down the block from me, his mom was, you know, I mean, a decent looking woman, especially for her age, and she was an exhibitionist. Ooh. Like, they used to have these parties and they'd invite everybody on the block. And it would be like 9:30 at night and everybody's like sitting around the living room and she would disappear for a little bit and all of a sudden she would show up in the middle of the living room like in her bikini. And I go, hey, who wants to go for a dip?
Yes.
And, like, you know, and that kind of thing. And all the women were like, are you freaking kidding me? And like one or two men would get up and follow her out and like, you know, they were in the doghouse or whatever.
Fun mom.
My dad was a carpenter. His crew one time was doing work on their house and while they're doing that, she comes walking out and starts washing the car and in like a terry cloth robe and she's bending over in front of them on purpose and nice. She's got nothing on underneath. So to give you an idea.
It's like a Bon Jovi album cover.
Yeah. But the guys were going, oh God, like it wasn't a good thing. But anyway, the reason what made me think about it was one time that she took us to the beach. And it was she took me and my friend and then his older sister was there too. And she was like, let's go, why don't we go for a walk in the water, all of us? And it was like, you just did whatever she said. I was probably like 9.
Yeah.
So we're wading through the water, like just kind of, you know, walking horizontally to the beach. And miraculously, the bottom of her bikini washes off.
That's a big oopsie.
Yeah. Like, I mean, give me a break. And she's going, oh no, like laughing. And the daughter's going, oh my God, mom, no way.
And you weren't old enough to kind
of appreciate
that.
I didn't know what's going on.
That,
and right. I certainly wasn't laughing. I was just like, what is going on? And she's making this big, big, big to-do over it. So everybody on the beach will look at her. And she's like doing the, you know, like clasping her hands together and this is crazy.
Wow. I mean, but she had a son that was your age that you were friends
yes,
with?
Yes.
And was he mortified or he was...
No, it was kind of status quo and, you know, for him growing up, so I don't think it really registered for him.
He was used to watching his mom bare her breasts in public places. But, you know, everyone's been through it and you just deal with it, right, guys? Guys, it's Tuesday. You know what that means, right? Two for Tuesday. We're going to give you two songs in a row.
This is by the group Band of Bees, sometimes known as The Band of Bees or A Band of Bees, and the song called End of the Street from their new album, Octopus.
I've got a girl and you've got her. I'm like a man and you're like her. I've got a dog and you've got her. I'm up the hill and you're on her. If you see anything about where to go. Stop.
Okay, that was Peach Fuzz with their song Silly Act off their new album Catch Your Snap.
That was a great little slice of power pop right there, Russ. Kind of a throwback. It just really made me feel good.
I think that's a good summary song.
Russ, do you know the...
Sound like the Osmonds a little bit.
Osmonds, huh?
I think so.
Donnie?
What?
I think it was like a modern rocking Osmond song.
All right. I mean, you're wrong, but that's fine.
The Band of Bees song. All right, let's get back to your song.
Yeah.
You know where they got that from, right? There's all those
old McDonald's
and everything? No.
Is it like a Monty Python thing?
No, it's actually Spike Jonze. That was his thing.
Oh.
And, you know, like, and not Spike Jonze, but the original Spike Jonze.
Right.
You know, the
composer for cartoons. Is that what you're saying?
No, that was Carl Stalling.
Oh.
Spike Jonze was, he was like a novelty artist, I guess, in the 50s.
He was like before Dr. Demento type guy,
yeah.
Right? He put out all like novelty songs.
But the difference is he was a performer on them. It wasn't like Dr. Demento just kind of was
the hoax, right.
And you know, and Spike Jonze was the guy who had all those songs with like cow noises and whistles and bangs and everything. So that is a direct homage to him.
Well, what do you know?
In case you didn't know, there, Todd.
Russ, I hope people don't get confused. This is the band Peach Fuzz, not the album Peach Fuzz by the 80s stalwarts Enough's Enough.
Right.
They had an album, of course, as we all know, Peach Fuzz, which was fantastic. I believe the lead singer was Chip Zanuff, was his name.
Kind of an embarrassing. You know how Howard Stern will often talk about how he's on the cutting edge of everything? And
of course, he invented everything.
Yeah, he invented this and he predicted this person.
Right.
He was big time into Enough's Enough. Like, for a year,
really?
We're talking
about how... I remember growing up,
he would have
Chip Zanuff on his show all the time.
Absolutely. He made a number of appearances back, I don't know, maybe
that was
like 1990.
Really nice name.
Yeah, yeah. They're two brothers. No, it was their stage name, but it was Z... apostrophe N-U-F.
Yeah, but I wondered if maybe it was like some kind of crazy
foreign. It was Croatian,
name.
Right. They were. But you're right, Todd. And I always...
He loved them.
He used to glom on to like these really third-rate stars, like the third-rate musician type people, especially after he got rid of Chip Zanuff, he embraced the Twisted Sister guy, Dee Snider.
Yeah.
Another one of his buddies. You know? So it was all like these Long Island bands that, you know, were kind of, I guess, close to his studio, and they would come in. And, like, he would talk about them like they were this amazing band, and you're like, even being young, you'd be like, I don't think they're that good.
Yeah, I just remember him throwing the term Beatlesque and the next Beatles.
Yeah,
I'm telling you.
Well, let me...
go to the tapes, yep.
That was a good segue, and I know, as a podcast, we spent more time on Enough's Enough than any podcast in the history of man. But... Cracked.com. You remember Cracked, the funny magazine?
It was like Mad Magazine.
There were three tiers. Mad number one, Cracked number two, and there was actually one called Crazy, which was not very good. But Cracked had Sylvester P. Smythe.
Mm-hmm.
Was their answer to...
blonde guy with a painter's cap on.
Yeah, like a little janitor to Alfred E. Newman. Anyway, Cracked.com is a pretty funny site where they just do really good lists, pop culture lists. And they have the 25 most ridiculous band names in rock history. And Enough's Enough's in there. But I'll give you... I'm just going down the last top seven. And the thing is, they give you the band name. They're ridiculous. And they kind of give you the story behind it. Like, Russ, Mott the Hoople, number seven. That's prog rock. You probably...
No, they're not really prog.
No, you're not. They were more end of glam rock.
I don't know where their name came from. Does it say?
Yeah, it was after... This is funny. It was the band supposedly after a... character in a book about a circus freak.
Wow.
That's what they said, but no one could ever find the book they were talking
that
about.
That was a terrible band name, yeah.
Hoobastank, they were popular. They had their moment in the sun, but just a crazy term they described as high school students. And Toad the Wet Sprocket.
I know what that is. That was... Toad the Wet Sprocket is from a Monty Python skit.
Yes. And we were just sitting around this weekend, and a Toad the Wet Sprocket song came on that... Out of the ocean, out of the sea.
Walk to the ocean.
Yeah,
that
little bit of horribleness. And
Walk
on the ocean. They had their moment in the sun, Toad the Wet Sprocket. 30 odd foot of grunts.
That's terrible.
That's the old Russell Crowe. Of course, then we have the top, and I agree with a lot of these, but I think their top one isn't very good. We'll see. Hootie and the Blowfish. Who cares? Number two, one of my favorite bands of all time, Archers of Loaf. I thought that was a pretty clever name, but Crack.com didn't think it was so clever.
What is that?
Archers of Loaf, there was really no description to it. Oh. You know, it was just one of those things. But...
Oh, you like this band, actually.
You like the number one band?
Didn't we play them on the podcast?
don't know. The check, number check, one check. Band
are you from Pittsburgh
on the podcast.
Didn't we play them on the podcast?
8, 2, 3. The number one band, ridiculous name, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. Yeah, I think we played that one of our first podcasts.
Definitely.
Chick, chick, chick. And I think that was a pretty cool name, but I guess it's just one of those things like, you know, it creates a buzz because people don't know how to pronounce their name, but much like, you know, Prince, when he changed his name from Prince to The Symbol, most people didn't know, really.
Actually, that name has worked again. Now it's better, but when they were first getting going, I remember being interested in them, and they were impossible to search for.
That
is... Because search engines were like, what is this? Like, they wouldn't return any results. You couldn't
find out
anything about
them. There's no fuzzy logic for a 3 exclamation points.
That is a great point, Russ. You should warn bands today, and when they name album cover, when they name their albums and bands, that they should do, and Todd, we were just discussing this, do a search. If you have a cool name for your website or for, you know, your band or business, do a search first on Google to make sure there aren't any other things that would trump your search.
Yeah, that you can monopolize the search.
You can monopolize the search.
And it's easy to spell.
Right. And Todd, you have something brewing. You have a great name. We're not going to say what until it happens, but, right?
Keep it under wraps. Yeah.
Should we keep it under wraps?
Stay tuned, though.
That,
stay
you know, and that's the thing. Like, you search for the 3 exclamation points, and you would get search right. results like, "I met Joey Fatone last night." 3 exclamation points.
And then you go, and then you're like, "Well, let me just check this link," and it's russellstark.com.
Jeff, you're big time into grammar. Is it ever acceptable to make 3 exclamation points?
Well, it's one of those things where it's not a it's not acceptable grammar in any sort of way where you would say that's grammatically correct.
It's like poetic license kind of stuff.
Exactly. The beautiful thing about grammar, and it depends if you are a prescriptivist or not. Prescriptivist is someone who's very, very by the book, rule of thumb, this cannot change, this is a, you know, certain type of clause, blah, blah, blah. They would say no, no, no. But the beauty about writing and grammar is that it's ever-changing and fluid. And when you do something like that, I think it's stupid to have 3 exclamation points.
Speaking of punctuation, I think the Latinos have it correct in putting the punctuation at the beginning of the sentence. Don't you think? It makes sense.
I was just reading something about that, actually, that somebody was saying that is really smart.
Absolutely. Like, why would we have to wait till the end of the sentence to figure out what the inflection should be? Yeah.
Right, because sometimes you get to the end of the sentence and you start it off, you're just like, oh my god, that person's house is on fire! Right? Like, you don't know to get there.
Then you sound like you're from Pittsburgh.
Rather than laboring the point and talking about punctuation for too long, there is a fantastic article on the Straight Dope right now where somebody asked about what's the origin of the question mark.
Yeah.
And he kind of goes through the origin of punctuation in general and how it started. It's really interesting.
So I happen to know, off the top of my head, the origin of the dollar sign. And it originated, I believe, as a U.S. to mean U.S. currency. So it was a U and an S. And then in an effort to save space, they began to type them on top of each other. So it was a U and S, one on top of the other.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of evolved from there, dropping the hook
losing,
at the bottom.
We are losing listeners in droves.
Two things that we talk about frequently is professional wrestling and punctuation, I think.
People don't enjoy us when we talk about maps or dictionaries.
Yeah, so for the two people who are interested, go to Straight Dope and type in question mark and type in dollar sign, and you'll find those two articles.
Fantastic. You know what, guys? Why don't we play a song right now? And this is, this is the summer. Trying to get into the summer feel. Keep me happy. And this song might be the best summer vibe going right now. This is Sunshower by Bus Driver.
Me and you in love for thar. Rule over solid waste. Our artistic merit is questionable. We'll fall on our face. And I can't bear the sight that I sound pragmatic. But our parents were right. This ain't adequate. Sunshower, there's no place for you, not no place.
weasels to stain. Now people to blame with their egos inflamed and their neat code names. I saw your subgenre in a passing glass. It was you and your DJ in matching pants.
People, podcast number 34 for Used Wigs Radio, and that was song Sunshower by Bus Driver off his album Roadkill Overcoat on Anti Records. I loved it. Guys, I want to talk about something. I really can't remember what it was. Oh, you know what I want to talk about? I was thinking as I'm redoing Used Wigs right now, and it's going to be better than ever. I was thinking of a section called like media blackouts, where I really, you know, there's so much coverage of certain things that you just wish, and we talk about this a lot, that everyone would just get together and say, hey, everybody stop reporting on this.
So you are going to urge
right
people to either not report on nor pay attention to reports of
certain things.
Okay.
There is an inherent problem with this. You have to actually mention that said thing to black it out, right?
Okay.
How do you get around that?
You like for an A, you put an at symbol so that it will not show up in searches and things. Is that? Like,
oh, I didn't know that. No, really?
How about, well, why not, right? If you spell it strange.
Let's say there's a celebrity out there who's getting more coverage than he or she deserves.
Okay.
So if you wanted to put it, you know, because, you know, like I said a while back that Associated Press did a media blackout of a certain celebutard. And,
yeah, you're right.
Right, and
so
it
I'm anxious to hear how you're going to resolve this. So go ahead.
So I was thinking maybe I would make the list, like, you know, top 5 or 10, where it would be like, media blackout, let's just stop mentioning this person in blogs, posts, and hopefully everyone will catch on. So you just do a nice one-word, one-sentence description of the person. You know what I mean? Like, if you want Donald Trump, it would be easy to come up with, like, an alternative way to describe him succinctly without actually saying his name.
Okay.
But is that requesting a media blackout adding to the problem? That's the problem I see. That I don't. I would love, you know, for us to just stop.
It certainly is ironic for you to be giving them space and press to say a call to arms.
Right. And like if I said to you guys, what one person right now do you really want to just blacked out?
I would say eggs or wine.
Eggs or wine.
Because, every time you turn on the news or read a report on a website, they're talking about if it's good, if it's bad, if you should have one a day, if you should have one a week, you should never eat it.
I agree. Eggs or wine. So I don't want to hear anything more about eggs or wine.
Are you waiting for my reaction?
No. What do you think?
That's like looking at me wide-eyed.
We've heard enough, don't you think?
Russ, anybody you would like to just kind of, you know...
For the last week and a half, all I've been doing is just watching Entourage on DVD. Every time that I sit down, when I used to watch the news, I'm just watching episodes of Entourage, and life is so much more enjoyable.
Isn't it?
So I'm just imposing my own blackout on all the same crap.
Local news is it's a mess. You know, and local we've talked about this before terrible, because yeah. I have a very good friend who is an anchor for one of the major stations in Philadelphia, and I talked to her. I probably bend her ear about it a lot, but she'll be the first to say that the Philadelphia market is although one of the three biggest, one of the worst for what they put on the news.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then I was reading an article also about how news is, by our definition, is even getting worse because, unfortunately, ratings are suffering because of so many people getting their news from the internet, which I think is a good thing. But because they have to lay people off and fire people, then they have less reporters doing the job. And if they have less reporters, then they don't have people free to do interesting stories or innovative stories. They just have to, like, basically chase after the police scanner because they're working with maybe arguably a skeleton crew. So all you're going to hear about, and increasingly, is the fires and the floods. And
if it bleeds, it leads. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, if it bleeds, it leads. I think
in Philadelphia.
And luckily for these news reports, we have a lot of murders. We have a lot of people killing each other. We have a lot of blood spilling in the streets. So you know, but Russ.
Was there somebody that you wanted to black out? Is there somebody?
No, I mean it's obvious, and I won't say who. But I think just you know, there's three or four people that do nothing, and we just of course keep reporting on them. And I do a pretty good job of not. Well, I don't watch the news. I don't watch the world news. I don't watch the local news. I do a pretty good job of trying to blind myself from any sort of news sources I don't need. You know what I mean?
So how do you get your information in news?
I write it down and then I read it.
Okay.
Right. I create my own news and then I read it.
So it's like things that happen in your house is your news.
It's amazing.
He goes home, he puts on the headphones, he sits next to the Telegraph.
But no. To be an educated person, you have
right.
to you have
but why,
to stay
but
abreast
I'm saying
of
I,
some situations.
But right, Todd, but the two things I said is I don't watch the local news, and I don't watch the world news.
So you watch the galactic news?
No, I don't watch news. I read news.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right.
Well,
I think you guys do, too. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, to me, TV news is just, it's silly now. I mean, if I need to get news, I'll get it in a different way. I'll get it quicker. And I won't get, like you said, the 20 minutes of, you know, blood and guts coverage where I can go and find out, you know, important news, find out what Dick Cheney's doing wrong, find out who's attacking.
Well, you can be discriminating.
Yeah,
you have a choice as to what you're reading, what goes
but then,
in your
eyeball, you can then
the news,
right? But
the TV
you can,
news.
But then you can stay abreast of local news also by reading.
Well, I've often said, like, I don't understand why the TV news is always a half an hour. I mean, some days there's clearly not a half an hour worth of news, and some days there's more. So they should block like an hour, and then you just tell us what the news is, and then when that's
cartoons.
Over, play cartoons. Exactly, you play cartoons.
That's a great. You're
like
just
that's like, the end of the news. Just 8 minutes of it tonight.
Right, we're not going to stretch it out with a 12-minute health break by Dr. You know Finesco telling you that you know what, a glass of wine every night. Oh no, we're blacking out wine.
Yeah,
can't talk about it, Todd.
He's up on it.
Russ, why don't we play a song? Then I want to get back to that little gem you just mentioned, and the we want to get back to happy things.
All right. This is a group of guys from New York City. It's a band called Automato, and this is Cool Boots.
How do I get out of it when I'm surrounded in the outer limits? Adamantly apathetic, rap is getting void of passion, hasn't it? We on the downhill like Aspen. Let me introduce you to my team. See, we on the chairlift, headed where the air sin. Fucking with the form, sees that earn the arrogance. And when I sell back my lyrics to God, I get to heaven. For the small price of living is like hellish. They always talk about the rich green dollars. They rapper next album, more money, flow problem. Money is an issue if you rich or you poor. If you poor, it makes you sick. If you rich, it makes you bored. Dollar signs on every door, let me get aggressive. I wanna get some more and they might get me arrested. When I fill up my wallet, I'll be back soon. With scars and night vision, leaders of the revolution. All I ever wanted was truth, peace, harmony, and anti-gravitational boost. All I ever wanted was truth. All I ever wanted was truth, peace, harmony, and anti-gravitational boost. All I ever wanted was truth. Never felt a hailstorm, maybe it's only drizzle. Get eaten by a male shark right after the missile issue. This was getting pre-World War III. I like nail art, oxygen, THC. I like death at a rational pace. I like the internet. I like to be a rat in the race. To all of my family, hold tight. I'ma be there for you, damn right. I could be that loyal. Die static, I have your brain shattered. But still, I got your back if it happens. All I ever wanted was truth, peace, harmony, and anti-gravitational boost. All I ever wanted was truth.
was truth. Peace, harmony, and anti-gravitational boots. All I ever wanted was truth. Dudes is a bitch to be living in sin with, but everyone I listen to is bullshit to be living through. It's difficult, we try to get by hard times. My lifeline is just but my lifeline significant proof. Dust, pieces fade into the ocean at my sea made. And navigation is a seamless dream. So even if I seem awake on land, I'm stranded. I'm paddling in sand and I need a break. But in the evening, if I finish with a human being face, rather than the matter and the data that I'm made of, leaving it to fill the gates, draining on my tongue, explaining that the world is what I make it. All I ever wanted was truth, peace, harmony, and anti-gravitational boots. All I ever wanted was truth. All I ever wanted was truth, peace, harmony, and anti-gravitational boots. All I ever wanted was truth.
That's a fun word to say.
Mm-hmm.
Russ, you mentioned Entourage and
yes,
watching it all at once. And I must agree with you. I love the show. And when I remember first hearing about it, reading about it, oh, it's Mark Wahlberg producing a show about, you know, this hip Hollywood guy and his three buddies. You're like, oh, is this just be called Assholes, Inc.? You know, because it's just going to be like, we're cool, you're not. But I remember, no, I don't have HBO. And we had a free weekend of HBO like 2 years ago. So Kelly and I are like, this is going to be great. So we noticed that every one of the Entourages were available.
Hmm.
Watch the first one. It's pretty good. Watch the second one. We were frigging hooked.
Oh, yeah.
And then we spent all weekend just watching the first season of Entourage. And then we did it again with the second season. There's something about that show where there's just a hypnotic vibe where not a lot really goes on in most episodes. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They could really have blown this show up with a lot of like crazy crap. But the best episodes, I think, are just when they're just hanging out doing nothing, and you know, the, obviously the interplay between the four characters.
Yeah, I mean, there's great cameos. I definitely think that the show is. I mean, I'm sure there are plenty of women who like it. It's more of a guy's show.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, like my wife likes it, but she doesn't laugh the way I laugh. And you know, and my drummer is who I borrowed him from, and he basically said, he was like, you know, it's just this kind of thing that after you watch it enough, you just kind of feel like you're part of the crew and like you're eavesdropping.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, especially, and I think especially for those of us on the East Coast, like, we grew up with guys like that.
Yep.
I mean, like, each one of those guys is kind of an archetype for somebody that we knew. So there's that. Plus, it's in very digestible chunks.
Yep.
You know, I mean, I used to watch The Sopranos only on DVD, too, because I don't have HBO. And that was more of a time commitment. You know, Entourage, I'll watch it when I'm having breakfast. I'll watch it when I'm taking
lunch.
Is it
a shorter show?
Oh, yeah. Like, They're about 20 minutes. They're
yeah,
like
22 minutes each episode.
Yeah, they're around 22 minutes or so.
I remember seeing Bob Saget on an episode.
Yeah,
it's
great.
He was very funny. Really funny. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Val Kilmer was really great on it.
They're, James Woods. You know, like a lot of guys play themselves, or a lot of guys just play complete pricks.
They play caricatures of themselves.
Oh, yeah. But it's just really well done. And like some episodes you're just like, all right, Drama's my favorite character.
Mm.
You're like, no way, Turtle's my favorite character. Because like they give him... Kevin Dillon, I mean, this is one of the greatest characters of all time in TV history, where he's a sidekick, and he just does it so well that this guy, you know this guy, he's one of those guys who has, like, hubris in one scene and the most, you know, emotional wreck in the next, and you're just like, I know this guy, and he's
mm-hmm.
just such a well-drawn character.
And I have to say, you know, I am a fan of Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, me too.
You know,
yeah.
Like, I mean, you know, especially when his career first started, I think it took him some time to find himself. And, you know, but he seems like a real good guy, you know. You know, but that aside, you know, I think he does good work, and I just think he's got a good head.
Is your friend part of the Funky Bunch?
he might be.
Guys, so that's it. Entourage, Russ, that would be probably like a shout out to you, right? Wouldn't you say? No, you wouldn't want to make a little shout.
Little shout.
Okay, Entourage is a little shout, guys.
That's kind of a wasted shout out though, because you guys are in the vast majority.
Oh, I know,
like,
I know.
That like was shouting out the sun or something.
That's true. Why don't? Hey, guys, here's something obvious. Why don't you watch what you're already watching?
But that's exactly why I'm shouting out, is because I heard so many people talking about it that I actually stayed away from it. I was like, whatever, man.
I'm like, Todd, you know me, and you bust on me all the time. Normally, I'd be like, hold it. Everybody likes it. It stinks. Yeah. I'm not gonna even watch it.
I mean, it's been on since, what, 2004, and I'm only seeing it now for the first time.
I'm actually calling for a media blackout.
I've actively avoided it. And then when my friend said, look, just watch it, you're gonna, like I said, fine. So he gave me the DVDs to watch, and I was hooked immediately, like a little bit to my surprise. So that's why I'm shouting it out.
Guys, you know I like to introduce new bits, then forget about them the next week. Well, last week I introduced a new bit, and I want to follow up. It's the shortest bit. It's my 10-second bit called, I don't like you, and I don't need to give you a reason why. You ready? I don't like you, and I don't need to give you a reason why. Amy Winehouse. Okay, guys, the next bit is Well, you don't know who that is?
Huh.
All right, look
Good
it up.
For you.
Wow, then that means you haven't been bombarded by all the indie rock music scenes and the cover of Rolling Stone and every other media outlet that wants to embrace the latest flash in the pan and act like she's going to actually put out a sophomore album that we'll care about, or a song to follow up the piece of crap when it's out now. My new bit, guys, is called I'm a Little Concerned.
Right? Should we have like some kind of theme song for that, or some kind of theme sound?
Why don't you pump something in right now, Russ? Then I'll redo it. Ready?
Okay.
I'm a little concerned. Guys, I'm a little concerned about John Krasinski from The Office. You know who that is?
Is he the one who just did the crappy movie?
Yeah, it's Jim.
Yeah.
Jim from The
yeah.
Office.
Yeah,
Jim.
Jim, very likable. We all love The Office. Very funny. But right now, he's just kind of skating by with his little raised eyebrow, mm-hmm. looking at the camera like,
yeah.
can you believe this craziness?
Yeah.
And he's good
at
it.
He's like the same person in that movie, or at least in the trailer of that movie.
Right. So it's getting a little old, his Office character, but I still like him. Thing is, everything I read about him outside The Office, he's a little full of himself. He's a little, like, expecting a lot, like, because I'm doing so well in this, I get to do this and this. And I think he just optioned a David Foster Wallace book that he's like, oh, I've been wanting to do this, and it was handed to me, and I get to do this. And then his first big screen thing is this new movie.
Robin Williams crap,
new
right?
Yeah. Two of the people I can't stand the most. Mandy Moore, as I call her, that just potato face.
Yeah.
Mandy Moore. And Robin
she
Williams.
Was an entourage.
Yes, she was. And she almost single-handedly ruined that season.
I haven't seen the end of her appearance yet. So.
Anyway, and Robin Williams sans beard. And you know what that means. If he's not wearing a beard and being serious, he's being wacky Robin Williams.
Okay. He has a beard in 1 hour photo.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, so you threw that up there with us. Thanks. Thanks for stopping all over that. This movie, I believe, is called, I don't know, License to Wed.
Yeah.
And that just evokes License to Drive. And other
it's
horror
terrible,
movies.
Yeah.
So
it's like the RV movie.
Hopefully,
except for
right.
He's
I'm a little concerned. I mean, I hope. I mean, I like him, but I hope this movie kicks him in the ass.
Well, hopefully, he won't follow in the steps of the guy who was his counterpart in the BBC version.
Why? What's he doing now?
No, don't you remember
Tim?
Tim.
Yeah, he did the movie version of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy,
which I kind of liked.
I thought it was okay, but it bombed.
It bombed worse. Yeah, it was really because you know what the problem was. Every geek in the world has been waiting 30 years for this movie.
Yeah.
And then when they put it together and it came out, it was a no-win. It was never going to be. And he was good in that. But, he hasn't been in much since then. But then again, he is a British actor, and he's not that good-looking. So, you know, he's not going to get a lot of, like, you know, these bigger roles.
Black him out.
Anyway, so John Krasinski has a chance to make a comeback because they're talking about redoing or making a new Fletch movie. Fletch.
Oh.
And he is one of the names being bandied about.
You think that might be a good project? A new a remake of Fletch?
No, not a remake, but there are a lot of Fletch books.
It's a Fletch prequel, actually.
It might be a prequel. Yes, you're right.
Because it's called...
That sounds like the worst idea ever.
I forget what the name of it is. It's not like Fletch Begins, but it's something
books are like Fletch Lives, Fletch Something, Fletch Farts. You know, it's like that kind of Fletch.
Who was the other person that they named?
Jason Lee was one of the guys. And now the other name with John Krasinski is Pacey from Joshua Jackson. Oh. From the Joshua's Creek show.
It's Dawson's Creek. Zach Braff.
Yes. Oh. Zach Braff. So he'd be horrible at it.
Between that or Who is Harry Crumb prequel?
No, that'd be good. Bottom line is we don't need another Fletch. I don't think.
I don't think we needed a Fletch.
I thought Fletch was great. The original,
really?
Oh, fantastic. The original Fletch?
Have you seen it recently?
Yeah.
It was on TV not too long ago, and that movie drags.
I don't know, Todd. You know what? Why don't we... right now watch Fletch in its entirety and we'll play a song. I'm going to play something that this band I've been listening to a lot, love them very much, whole album's fantastic. This is Ships by The New Ruins.
Yeah, Fletch sucks, seriously.
I love Fletch.
You seen it recently?
Yeah, I saw it 2 years ago.
I loved it too when I was 11. You like
it
now?
No, it's still good.
That movie did not hold up. Russ?
Since we were tracing up the night away, little singing spill drinks another night away. Outside the city, where you say that you're the tired.
Listening to that song, Todd found Russ's copy of Fletch and pissed all over it. I've never seen a man so angry at a movie. Todd, wow.
When I get angry, I urinate on things.
It's weird.
You owe me a new Fletch.
You really do. And that was a signed copy by, what's his name? Chevy Chase.
By the girl that was in the Ted Danson crappy.
Wondering if you were going to pick out like some bit player in Fletch.
I couldn't even name her.
The short little girl that was in the sitcom with Ted Danson when he was a doctor.
Becker?
Yeah.
Russ knew it.
Yeah. The little girl was the receptionist, was in that movie as a youngster.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, it's weird. The girl who was in Fletch, the hottie, you know, Miss Underhill or whatever.
Okay.
No, it wasn't Underhill, but, you know, the one his girlfriend in it, who eventually he wooed. Like, she was really hot, but she was, like, in nothing since then. I should do a whole list of those one-hit wonder hot girls from popular movies that never did anything after that. That'd be quite a list. We have a lot of work to do.
Yeah, like, I can think of one. Whatever happened to Sloane in Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
Yeah.
What did happen to her?
She was actually in
she
a
was
couple
like 41
things.
When she shot
yeah,
that
she was
movie
pretty
though.
Old. Actually,
what?
Alan Ruck.
I know she wasn't 41,
but
she was
no,
old.
No, she was
yeah,
old.
She was older.
But you know what? Alan Ruck, the guy who played Ferris's best friend, who was
Cameron,
was 33 years old when he shot that.
Get out of here.
You can go to usewigs.com, and there's a little thing I put together called... I forget what it's called, but it was basically too old for teens.
I'll be 33 next month, and there's no way I could pull off being a 17-year-old.
Russ, you couldn't pull off being a 33-year-old. Guys, you know what time it is right now, don't you? It's the time where we wrap up the show, the Summer Music Spectacular, but we're going to end it on a high note with such things like shout-outs. Yeah! Todd, can you give us a shout?
Sure. If you're looking to doll up your desktop, point your browser to pixelgirlpresents.com. Not a flash in the pan. This, I assume I'll say she, Pixel Girl, has been around for 7 or 8 years. Always top quality desktop pictures and downloadable icons. And when I say top quality, very artistic, submitted by a number of independent artists. So it's pretty cool. Browse, download, enjoy.
Awesome. Russ, do you have something that you could shout out?
I am going to re-shout out our old pals at HomestarRunner.com.
Oh.
And the reason being is, first of all, Jeff is wearing his Homestar shirt. Which
I certainly am.
But also, that you know, I was saying that I Monday mornings, I still look forward to every week the latest Homestar.
Yep.
Now, I always, at a minimum, you know, chuckle or at least smirk. This week was one of those laugh out loud all by myself weeks, so, you know. If you haven't followed up with Homestar recently, this is a reminder. Get on there, and you might even be one of those lucky ones who hasn't seen like the last 10 or 15 cartoons, so you've got like an hour of watching.
Right, you could just sit there and enjoy. And for people who've never been to Homestar, I know it's probably everyone who listens to us has, it is the all-time greatest web cartoon ever. And it'll never get better than that, simply put. Right, Russ?
That's, yeah.
That's it. And we'll have them on our show soon, the two creators.
If we can...
finagle that. I want to shout out something fantastic. It's a brand new website and future magazine highlighting all the good stuff happening in Philly and Philly culture, arts, music, film, and happenings. It is a website called, well, I guess, you know, it's one of those things where it's called 215magazine.com. And I guess you would spell out 215magazine.com. Go to it right now, and there's a lot of good stuff. Like I said, art, culture, film, polls, good columnists, a lot of fantastic stuff. And the thing I love about this website like this is really good writers. And the thing is, with a lot of websites that are specific to arts and culture, to a city, they get really dense in their references, and they get very snarky, and they get, if you're not part of the scene, you go there, you don't know what the hell they're talking about. We have a lot of sites in Philly, I won't name them, but are pretty obvious popular blogs, that when you go to read about what's happening in Philadelphia, you can't get through the third sentence. You're like, what? I don't know. Why are you mocking on this guy? Describe why you are. I'm not a dummy. I'm pretty hip on what's going on. Todd, you too. Don't you find yourself lost in a lot of it?
Yeah, it's like sometimes there's three or four levels of irony when they they shoot some comments back and forth. Yeah.
And so, you know what? I just like something like, I like clever. I like a little challenging, but I also, you know, spell it out for me too, boys and girls. So go to 215magazine.com. Check that out. And that is my shout for the week. And I believe, sadly, guys, that is it for our Summer Spectacular. I just want to tell everybody out there, sunscreen in this extremely hot weather. I wear sunscreen 181 now. It's a concoction I made. I take actually 100. I take a jar of Hellman's. I put them together. And it's a very viscous, thick, white coating that I wear when I go out right now, along with a pith helmet and a...
Handlebar mustache
and a space outfit just to keep away from the sun. Guys, that was podcast 34. What'd you think?
Lovely.
Todd?
I loved it.
Wow.
It's the most recent one we've ever done.
It is. Recent.
If it's a summer day with not a cloud in sight, then tell me why it feels like it might rain. Me rain on me. a summer day.
It's a summer day
with not a cloud in sight.
Not a cloud in sight.
Then tell me why.
Tell me why.
It feels like it might.
Feels like
summer day,
not a cloud in sight.
Then tell me why.